Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading this morning is from Acts. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Word of God, word of life. Let us read from Psalm 118 responsively. "The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly."
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
"I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord."
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
"Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord."
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
"I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation."
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
"By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes."
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
"Now, O Lord, save us. We pray to you, Lord. Prosper our days."
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Our second reading today comes from the first chapter of Revelation. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Then when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in this mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your hand here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace be unto you from God, our Mother and Father, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I greet you from Alexandria, Virginia, the ancestral lands of the Doeg and Piscataway peoples. My name is Carmelo Santos, and I serve in the ELCA as Director for Theological Diversity and Ecumenical and Interreligious Engagement. I was invited by the leadership of Lutherans Restoring Creation to share the good news of the gospel with you today on the occasion of International Earth Day. I must confess that although I was glad to accept the invitation, I also felt overwhelmed by the task. How can I speak of good news during a time when we are immersed in so much bad news, especially regarding the state of our planet and of our fellow creatures? How can we speak of good news when we witness with a maddening sense of impotence how so many innocent lives are being destroyed and displaced by wars, by political and economic violence, and by droughts and famine? How can we speak of good news when we witness the destruction of entire species and ecosystems sacrificed on the altar of the gods of profit and progress? How can we speak of good news when we witness storms increasing in power and frequency, devastating communities, and sea levels rising at an alarming rate, already forcing people to leave their ancestral homelands to seek refuge in strange lands? How can we speak of good news when we witness with anguish the plight of people from all over the world, most often brown, black, indigenous, and poor, risking it all in perilous journeys by land or sea to seek refuge in neighboring countries, only to often find themselves rejected, arrested, criminalized, and victimized? The reason we can speak of good news in the midst of so much bad news is because the good news that we speak of, the gospel, was born in the crux of pain, suffering, and hopelessness. The gospel was born at the foot of the cross, where all hope seemed to have died, where even God felt abandoned by God. The good news was born in an empty tomb and in a locked room, where Jesus' followers felt, perhaps a bit like many feel today, fearful, confused, demoralized, not knowing what to do next. The reason we can speak of good news today, even today, is because thanks to the cross, we have learned to recognize by faith the mysterious presence of the living God hidden in the midst of death, pain, and suffering, making a way out of no way, wrenching life out of death, and transmuting the fear and hopelessness of our heart into courage, peace, and hope against all hope. God speaks that good news to the world and to us through the living word that comes to us in the scriptures. From today's scripture text, we can discern at least three ways in which God speaks good news regarding the challenges we're facing in the struggle for climate justice, for creation care, and for bringing healing to our communities and to the nations. Those three ways are, first, the gift of community. Second, the gift of the testimonies of those who have been wounded like Christ. And third, the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, but also the retention of sins. Let us begin with the first gift, the gift of community. Several years ago, theologian Vitor Vestale, who is no longer with us, preached a powerful sermon on this gospel text. In his sermon, he pointed out that even though Thomas didn't believe in the witness of the resurrection, he nonetheless didn't abandon the community, nor did the community abandon him. He was accepted by the community of faith, even in his disbelief. In the Gospel of John, Thomas functions as our twin. We are the doubting ones, but we are also the ones who are nonetheless accepted and sustained by the community, even when we are having a hard time believing. In the community of faith, we take turns believing and doubting, fearing and hoping, hiding and witnessing. We don't have to be strong all the time. We don't have to be courageous all the time. Sometimes our faith and courage lifts others up, and at other times, we are the ones who need to be lifted up. That is why God gives us the gift of community. In fact, there is an ancient tradition that says that faith does not belong to the individual alone, but to the church as a whole. We are sustained in our weakness by the strength of the church as a whole. In our weakness, we're prayed for, loved by, and sustained and challenged by the church. We need this community in order to do the work that is ahead of us. The Latin American song, Momento Nuevo, puts it well. Solo y aislado no hay nadie capaz. That is, alone and isolated, no one is capable. The song further says that it is no longer possible to believe that things will be easy. There are many forces that produce death, that inflict pain, sadness, and desolation. So it is necessary to strengthen our unity. Thank God for the gift of church and for the gift of communities like Lutherans restoring creation. The second gift that God offers us in today's text is the gift of learning to listen to the testimony of those who have been wounded like Christ. It is interesting that when Jesus appears to Thomas, he chooses to reveal himself by showing him his wounds. His wounds reveal something important to the disciples. The wounds reveal that he is Jesus, but also that he is Jesus in the body, that the risen Lord is also the crucified Messiah. But there is even more. The wounds of his crucifixion also reveal that the official powers of his day were illegitimate because they were not instruments for God, for the well-being of the people, but rather instruments of domination and exploitation that were in direct contradiction of God's will. That is symbolized powerfully by Luke in the words of the centurion right after Jesus died. He said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." The wounds of the victims reveal something important about societies and systems of power. The lies of political and economic ideologies cannot resist the truth revealed by the wounds of their victims. Isn't that what has happened with the war in Ukraine? The images of the victims have destroyed the ideological lies used to justify the aggression. Nature also has wounds. that reveal the lies about the ideologies of profit and perpetual growth that are at the basis of our economy and of the structure of our society. The testimony of these wounds is so powerful that they must be kept out of sight, like in the children's story in Dr. Seuss's book and movie called The Lorax. The wounded forest had to be kept out of sight, outside the city borders, hidden by walls meant to conceal and deceive. But the wounded ones are not just victims. They are also survivors, purveyors of important wisdom. From the same communities that have suffered greatly because of climate change, because of pollution and economic injustice, great leaders have emerged in the struggle for climate justice and planetary healing. This is true especially among the youth around the world, and particularly youth from indigenous communities and from minoritized groups. We must listen to them because they have a perspective and a wisdom that is unique and important for addressing the current crisis. More than help them, those of us in positions of privilege or power should learn to listen to them and perhaps even follow their lead. Could it be that through them, the Risen One is speaking to the world? Finally, the third gift that God offers us today in today's gospel reading is the power that Jesus and the Spirit give to the church to forgive sins and to retain sins. Lutherans know a lot about the first part of that gift, that is, about forgiveness of sins. But we are very shy about the second part, the retaining of sins part. And yet, both are essential to the work of healing and redemption that the Spirit of God is doing in the world. What does it mean to forgive or retain sins? It means to proclaim what has already taken place on the cross and resurrection of Christ. To forgive sins is to make available that free gift of God's grace by means of proclamation. As the Apostle Paul said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, but not all have obeyed the good news." Romans 10, chapters 13 through 16, NRSV. We could also add to the quote from the Apostle Paul the question, and how are they to accept Christ's forgiveness if they don't even know that they need it? If they are not even aware of their sin or of their suffering that they are inflicting on others and on the planet? That is why Luther spoke of the Word of God as having two functions, the law function and the gospel function. The law function retains sins in the sense that it moves people to recognize the ways in which they have fallen away from God's ways, and as a result are causing pain, suffering, and death to themselves and to others in the world, including the planet. When people are moved to contrition and repentance by this proclamation of the law function of the Word, then their hearts become fertile soil for the seed of forgiveness that the Holy Spirit uses to bring liberation and transformation. What that means in the context of the work of creation care and climate justice is that the church must be courageous and dare to speak truth to governments and corporations, that is, to show them the wounds of their victims and have them face the truth that they try to keep out of sight, sometimes even out of their own sights and consciousness. The church must do this in private and in public. The church must not neglect its mission to proclaim the word in its entirety, that is, as law and gospel, and not as lukewarm and diluted version of the gospel only. The church commits theological malpractice when it does not carry out its full mission to forgive and retain sins in the name of Christ through the proclamation of the living word. But law is not the last word. The last word is a word of forgiveness and promise. The promise that a different world is possible, and that we can be collaborators with God in the awesome work of bringing about that new creation. Only God can bring it about, of course, but we have been given tasks and gifts that, in God's hands, will make all the difference. Even if we cannot imagine how things can get better, we must remember that the limits of our imagination are not the limits of God's power. We must do the part that has been entrusted to us. Then be ready to be surprised by the power of the resurrection, as the first disciples were. I conclude with the words of the revelation that was given to John. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Revelation 21:5. And the church says, Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.